Welcome to your home for all the nerd news you need to know. Welcome to AU Radio. With us this week, over at the Caterpillar Cafe Comics Corner, it's George.
Hello.
Filling in for Corey over at the Adventures Underground News Desk, it's Katie.
Hey, that's me.
That is you. Over at the Dumpster Diary News Desk, it's Derek.
Hello.
Greetings. Sitting in today with us, we have a special guest. It's Sarah.
Hey.
One chance she gets to talk and you all overpower her.
We're excited.
At the control panel this week, we got Sam.
That's me.
That is you. I, of course, am your plucky sidekick, Donnie. This is season 2, episode 21, As the Creator Intended. Ooh. So how was everybody's week this week?
Real good.
I have sat on my ass and done absolutely nothing but watch Disney the entire weekend. And it's been, and I regret nothing.
We will actually get to that here in a little bit. So our topic this week, and we kind of brought this up in our chat once. So Netflix and all of their infinite wisdom has decided to roll out a special feature where you can play your movies and shows at 1.5 speed in order to watch them more quickly.
This is stupid. You know what? I will. Okay, let's let everybody else share with the class, and then Katie will start screaming.
So it you want to throw in? Sorry.
Why would you want to do that? Thank you, Sarah.
So before you go off, the reason that it brings to my mind is like when you're doing an audiobook, you absolutely have those extra fast speeds so that you can get through the audiobook faster.
Podcast as well.
It's going to look cartoonish in a visual medium.
In some aspects, yes. Especially like action movies,
car chases are going to be really fast.
I don't understand the need for it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I got to thinking about it. Now, when you watch a movie on cable TV, what is the very first disclaimer that comes up on a cable TV?
That it's modified, you know,
for content and time
and continuity and time. Sure.
Time.
Yes.
So I think I know secretly why Netflix wants to do this, but they're selling it to a generation that has to have everything quickly and they don't have time to sit down for a 2-hour movie. And
I don't think your secret theory holds up.
I do.
I have a rebuttal to it.
Okay. Let me hear your...
Well, tell us your secret theory first.
Basically, you've got less people streaming for X amount of time. You're cutting that time.
Okay, but what are they going to do? They're just going to go on to the next thing. So they're not cutting any time.
If they're watching movies, most people don't marathon movies. They'll marathon a television series.
Here's what I'm going to say. The people that need to watch so much content that they're blazing through something at 1.5 speed are the kind of people that are going to sit and watch 10 movies in a row.
People that do.
I would agree, actually.
People that watch movies for homework, a.k.a. podcasters.
So I don't know that it saves bandwidth or it gets users off quicker. I don't know that that's the motivation behind it. Even I just don't know why it's necessary. Other than like you said, for, you know, if I'm watching like some crazy production of Hamlet, you know, from 1972 for a college paper, I might want to kick that up to 1.5. I'm not so worried about artistic integrity there, but you know, if I'm watching Endgame, that would just be ridiculous. Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense. But at the end of the day, Miss Katie. If someone wants to, they're still paying for it, right? So let them. Who cares if they want to do it? I'm not going to do it. But if someone chooses to watch a movie on fast forward, I mean, it's ridiculous. But go ahead. I mean, I used to watch the Playboy Channel when I was 7 on Scramble. So, you know, never saw anything, but we thought it was cool. Okay, Miss Katie's.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my entire life. The entire point of streaming services is for entertainment. You are to sit there and be entertained. Why are you rushing your own form of entertainment? I don't understand this generation, and I understand that I'm a part of it, but it doesn't make any more sense to me. My contact lens just fell out. I've been rubbing my face so hard, I'm not joking. Anyways, you're messing with the pacing, you're messing with the dialogue, you're messing with the scene setup, you're messing with the cinematography of how these franchises and these properties are made. If you mess with that, you mess the integrity of the entire movie or show, and then there's no point in watching it. What's the entire point of watching a movie or sitting down and watching a show if you're going to rush through it? Why are you rushing through your own leisure time?
Fiesta Cat approves of this message.
Here, let me pull the string again. Go and go.
That's all I have. This is the dumbest. This is just me being a crotchety old lady. Derek, you're absolutely right. If that's what they want, then I guess have that feature. Why would you want that? It's the dumbest thing on the planet.
So you won't be using that feature.
I will not.
Okay.
That's what's more disturbing to me is the fact that people were asking for this.
Did they say why? Like, what was the inspiration for them making that call?
They haven't really come out and said it.
And so we've had directors like Judd Apatow come out and
protect the art.
Which Judd Apatow and art have never really been in the same sentence
which
before.
Makes a valid point.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, they've sold their things. They've sold their soul to this already. So do they have control over that portion? I don't think they
do. That is my question.
That's the fight.
This is where I thought this would make a good topic is once they've made the movies and they've handed it to the networks, they've handed it to these streaming services, do they still have a say on how their movie is viewed?
Like you said, CBS has been chopping them up for years on the Sunday night movie or whatever. I mean, they cut a 2.5 hour movie into 1:30 for commercials. And
I mean, have you ever seen Lebowski on cable TV?
I refuse to watch it on cable TV. For that specific reason, I don't want to meet a stranger in the Alps. And if you know what Lebowski, you know what that means.
It's worth. Okay, so I'd argue that it's worth watching once just to see.
Really?
For the ridiculousness of it. Somebody had to watch it to know that was a line they replaced.
Maybe we'll watch the cable version on our Hot Ones episode.
Well, it's okay. Yeah. Imagine watching a Quentin Tarantino movie at 1.5 speed. The entire point of those movies are some of the best scenes in cinema, if we're gonna go with the Scorsese route of this movie's cinematic. Some of the best moments in cinema are Tarantino's long, uncomfortable silences or those really, really tense moments in that long, drawn out scene.
Pulp Fiction is like half drawn out silence.
Yes, exactly. So tell me that I'm wrong in this, and then you're just going to screw with all of that because you are like, okay, cool, I can say that I've watched that movie, but you didn't. Oh, you didn't experience whatever. I am understanding that I am now a crotchety old man, and I'm going
to
stop.
I think it makes sense for audiobooks to speed it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Just so that it doesn't take forever.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's stupid.
Although here again, audiobooks that are autobiographies or something that are boring as hell, but then you have like a lot of the audiobooks I used to listen to when I had a long commute to work was like these Western novels where there was a lot of acting involved in the voiceover, and that would affect it too if I was listening to that on fast forward. I think Sarah has something to say.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because I was just thinking, because I've heard people listening to audiobooks at the higher speeds, and I just think they sound like chipmunks.
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It sounds ridiculous.
And
so, like,
and I guess people read at different speeds too, but like I just couldn't see myself enjoying listening to it like that, because it's
If you're cramming for a test, it's one thing, but if it's for enjoyment, like
usually like 1.5 or even 2, sometimes it doesn't need that chipmunky.
Well, and if they're
like 3 and 5 speed, then
if they're at a low enough range, you don't go all the way chipmunk. You go like Mickey Mouse, like haha, you know, kind of mid range. And that one I find okay, but the chipmunk is a little hard to take.
Yeah, and then, plus, like I don't know, I have a hard time differentiating the words too. So when they're like saying a long sentence, and I'm like, wait, what did?
Well, what we're gonna have probably from now on, if they haven't already signed their rights away, you're gonna have as part of the negotiation a Judd Apatow saying, okay, I will not allow this to go to Netflix,
but
unless
he doesn't
it's
really even
unmolested.
Have a say.
Then it goes to where he signs the contract with the studio. Then you know,
but the studio isn't going to say yes because it's like, oh, Netflix being like, we want to give you however many millions of dollars to have this movie on a streaming service. Okay, fine, but you can't have it on there, and they're gonna say no.
That's what. Well, but then Netflix is gonna have to bend and say, okay, we can't do that to your movie.
I don't think they will.
I don't think Netflix has the power here. I think the movies still have the power.
I don't think that a lot of studios can afford at this point to not have their stuff on streaming services. And I could be absolutely wrong, but I think that streaming service is is the cash cow right now, and studios are trying to bend to their will.
Yeah, no, I'm saying there's gonna be some discussions.
I'm not saying yeah, there's definitely gonna be a lot
Something's gonna flesh out of this for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's just a new unintended thing that's come up in this new medium that's constantly evolving as we speak.
So on to another controversial topic. Like we said, Sarah's here today, and she wants to talk about book club.
I like book club.
What's controversial about book club?
That we're talking about books up here.
We're talking about books all the time.
You don't.
We just talked about it.
You don't.
That's the controversial topic.
I always try to throw in music too, and I always get the thumbs down from Uncle Donnie over there.
It's not a music podcast. I have never said that ever. I do get a glazed donut look in my eye. I'm like,
I'm sorry, a what?
A glazed donut look, you know?
That's not what that is.
You almost made Derek spit take right there.
I was trying.
That's not what that is.
Okay, Sarah, books. Depends on the music you listen to.
So just a tiny bit of a frame up for you. So Adventures Underground does have a monthly book club, which Sarah helps coordinate, and we wanted to give it a shout out.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for. So we meet the first Friday of every month. So this next one will be on December 6th. We are reading Guards by Terry Pratchett.
Oh, ooh. Wonderful.
Yes, it's very good.
So how do you get involved? Where do you sign up? Do you just show up?
You can just show up. We have a Facebook group for the Underground Book Club that I post all of the book choices. And then, so there's lots of members on there and they chat. But then you can just show up to book club on Friday. We do not promise no spoilers. So if you didn't finish the book, you can still come, but we'll talk about it anyway.
That's good to know. That's good to know.
Sure. How do the books get chosen? Who chooses?
I choose all the books.
Awesome. Cool.
No, that's cool. I am your god now.
This is my baby. So does Adventures carry extra copies of whatever book you're reading that month? So
Yes, I tried to bring in, because I'm also the book buyer downstairs, so for new books anyway.
It would make sense that you would make those choices then.
Yeah. And so I bring in a minimum of 4 copies every initial order and then keep them restocked all month. So.
How do you choose the books, Sarah?
Mostly I try to stick with, because sci-fi fantasy is like a big seller for us. Mm-hmm. So I try to stick between those two, and I usually alternate between sci-fi fantasy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's new releases that I'm excited about. And then like with this one, I was trying to go for a fantasy novel that was also a murder mystery.
Ooh, solid.
Okay. So, well, and Pratchett's a great choice no matter what he's writing. Yeah.
It's so funny so far, but. It's Guardsguard is technically the 8th book in his Discworld series.
Oh, okay.
They don't have they do have a continuity, but it doesn't. But it's also the first book in his Men at Arms series
So you could just pluck one out of that 8 and
you can just
follow it along, no problem, without knowing any backstory.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. He doesn't. There are recurring characters that show up in like multiple books, but you don't have to read them in order.
Right.
Cool.
Okay.
So you can pick them up anywhere.
Very nice.
Like the only other book I've ever read by him was The Hogfather, which I think is even later in the series than that. So.
Okay.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Nice.
Very cool.
And is there, not to open any doors here, but like, is there something like this maybe for the younger readers? Like even like, is there a group active for like the teen readers maybe or anything, or has there been any thought of something like that?
There has been. We don't currently have anything going right now. We did have a Reading Rabbits group that was going for a short time downstairs at the store, but that kind of, I don't know how, but we,
I think that was a little bit more of a summertime thing too.
Sure, that makes more sense.
But we do not to take away from your talking points, but we do have like kids story time, like young kids story time and art like craft type stuff. So
cool. Cause I know you guys have a huge like young adult section is like massive. Mm-hmm. And then that can blend into some of the more age appropriate graphic novels, which there's also massive amounts of wonderful graphic novels down there. So yeah, cool. Sorry. My mind just gets going. I just spew questions.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Stop apologizing for your good interview questions.
Sorry.
And it looks like it's getting pretty popular too.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you get a decent turnout.
How many regulars would you say on?
I have about like 5 that show up on a regular basis, but it fluctuates from month to month. Sometimes we only get 3 people showing up and sometimes a bunch of new people will show up. Like last month, I think we had 12 altogether
That's a good book club.
Yeah.
Wow. No, that's mad. So, and where are you, like, on this current book, where are you at in the book? Like, would it be smart to show up now if you've never started the book, or should we wait till the next book?
No. So we only meet to discuss the book on the first Friday of the month. Okay. So, like, I currently am only about a third of the way into the book, honestly. And so, but I try to finish it before we actually do our meetup and talk about it. So, but I have people who come not reading at all and some that only read half of it. And then we still
do. So it's it. One book a month?
Yeah, then? One book a
okay,
month.
Okay, okay.
Yeah,
gotcha. Sorry, gotcha, sorry, gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. Okay. No, that's mm-hmm. cool. So you assign the book and everybody reads it and then you show up on that Friday and discuss. And we discuss.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then I usually sounds announce awesome. The next book after that meeting.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
So it's solid. December 6th at what time?
December 6th at 7 p.m. in the Caterpillar Cafe.
So does that get posted? So if people like the idea, but they're going to have a really busy month this month and maybe want to jump on next month, do they have to wait until the next meeting to find out what the following book is going to be?
Yeah, okay. I usually don't have it posted until after the meeting.
That's so, cool. Just checking in for the people that might be curious.
Are you guys going to have any? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, that was if you come the week following the book club and mm-hmm. you let them know that you're in the book club, you can also get a discount on the purchase of your book.
Very nice.
Sweet.
Are you guys going to have any sort of like special scheduling for the holidays this year, or is it, or does it not?
I don't think so. We did it a little bit different last year, but it made it all wonky so that in January nobody showed up.
Okay.
So I'm not going to change the schedule this
okay.
year.
Fair enough.
Sounds good.
And so, yeah.
Sweet.
Very nice.
That's awesome.
So if you didn't know, Adventures Underground is a lot of kinds of stores in one. If you're local, check us out.
Oh, also, so you can go to the Underground Book Club on Facebook. That's where I post them. But I also post on Goodreads, if anybody is on Goodreads.
Oh, good.
Another social networking site for readers. And so, because I don't have any discussion questions up on there, but you can find out what the book club is by going to our Goodreads page also.
And do you just look for Adventures Underground on Goodreads?
Yeah.
Or okay. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Well, yeah. That's awesome. Cool.
I did want to bring up another book that's not a book club book mm-hmm. since I was up here because I was super excited to find out about
okay,
this book.
Okay.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah.
So, because like last month I was doing a bunch of research on anthologies because I'm into short fiction
sure.
really a lot recently. Mm-hmm. And so in 2017, apparently for the 40th anniversary of The New Hope, they released an anthology series that was called, okay, let me look it up really quick.
It got my attention.
Ooh, is that the one that's got like 40 people on it?
Yeah, yeah. So
okay.
it's called From a Certain Point of View. And they chose, there's 40 short stories on it. Some of the short stories are written by two authors. So there's more than 40
oh,
authors
wow.
on
okay.
it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, but it's all scenes from A New Hope written from a weird perspective, I guess.
Oh, like from the dude at the bar when yeah. Han and Greedo get, you know, have their stuff go down.
Kind yeah. of
cool. Yeah.
That is such a cool idea.
It's so fun, yeah.
Holy crap.
And like, so I think Will Wheaton wrote a book, one of the stories in there. And I think that one was one from Aunt Beru's perspective.
Oh, nice.
Rad.
Yeah. And then Nnedi Okorafor, who writes speculative fiction, she wrote one from this perspective of the tentacle monster in the garbage compactor.
Oh my God.
This is ridiculous.
What a good idea.
I need this pre-ordered.
Yeah, I have two please. Copies downstairs if anybody.
It's available now?
Yep, I have it in the
and store. I okay, think I'm you sorry. Just sold yep. one.
There is one copy remaining there's by the time you hear this store. Tomorrow.
That story.
That sounds fantastic.
The tentacle monster story strikes fear into my heart. Right. That thing, yeah. no.
I wonder what other kinds of things he's eaten.
Right? What has he seen?
What?
He has seen things.
Terrible, terrible things.
So that's all. So, hey. If you end up checking out that Star Wars From a Certain Perspective,
yep.
Hey, if you read that and you really liked any of the stories, hit us up on social media and let us know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love to hear other people because I'm super excited about it.
Sweet. Have you started reading it yet?
I have not yet.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
I need to go now.
Goodbye, everybody.
Well, hey, thanks for bringing some book stuff to the table.
Yeah, sure. You're welcome. Thanks for letting me.
Yeah,
believe awesome. It or not, believe it or not, Adventures Underground is more than just a bunch of nerdy, surly uncles and me yelling at the front counter.
They've got books.
And Sarah.
And Sarah.
And delicious hoagies.
And that. So that's that. You want to get back to the news?
Not maybe? Really.
No, okay. We'll just keep talking.
Good night, everybody. Yeah.
I don't know. That's I mean, a if great you let me, I'll keep talking about books.
It was a good, wholesome episode.
Good job, guys.
So we can only we screw out, it up from here.
We found out how to get her to talk.
I know, yeah. More, yeah. I'll just, yeah.
But, there we go.
So the...
No, you're good. You're good. You're good. Sorry.
So the big story out this week, Disney Plus launched on Tuesday.
Huh, never heard of it.
With over 10 million subscriptions on day one.
Yes.
They didn't get me yet. I was day two.
We tried to watch it hour one, and everything was crashing.
Yes. God. And so from an IT perspective, Disney shot themselves in the foot going, oh, yeah, we already surge tested this thing. We're going to be able to handle all the bandwidth that they need on day one, blah, blah, blah. You can do all of the testing you want ahead of time. Yes. There's no way you can test for 10 million people trying to log on at the exact same time.
It's computer stuff.
They
man.
Knew it was going to happen. They were just trying to control the right. crash.
Yeah. And honestly, it wasn't that bad.
I only had one issue after I watched the live action Lady and the Tramp. I'm a sucker for talking dog movies.
Which how
I
put was that, by the way?
It was awesome. I loved really? It. Yeah, it was fantastic. Okay. The kids will love it. Cash okay. and Kate and Kaylee will love
okay.
it.
I put that on for my dog when I left him on my lunch
Dude,
break.
It was fantastic. The Cocker Spaniel would like played it perfectly. It was
a cute dog. She did a great very
job.
Cute dog.
The yeah. CGI dog did a great acting job. Awesome.
I also
I love you, Derek.
Watched the first episode of the Jeff Goldblum show, which
yes,
is
fan- that's the one I haven't seen.
Fantastical.
So good. It's about sneakers.
He is yeah. so weird.
Yeah, he's just
so weird. He's a lizard person.
No, he's king of the lizard
he
people.
He is Listen, the f-ing lizard king.
He's just
Sorry,
like
Sam.
Us. Like, he's interested in things, and he wants to go check it out. I mean, it's this show promises not to teach you anything. There's no morals. That's literally what it says in the press release. Like,
hold on, discretion. So it doesn't promise to teach you something, but right. you're probably
but you
going to learn something
absolutely.
Along the way.
Okay, absolutely.
I do have to say I was extremely underwhelmed when he unboxed those sneakers.
Oh my God, I was too. No, yeah. okay, no. In my mind, they cut the scene, and when he actually opened that box, it was not a usable scene. That is what I thought immediately. I'm like, yeah. He's faking it.
What do you think? He was just like snorting coke off of him? What do you think was happening?
I
what?
Did
he
like
was, the... He was trained to be excited about shoes during the episode. Yeah,
I did like true. The W from his uncle's leather
yeah,
jacket.
But,
that was a good
but
touch.
All of that stuff he pulled down to get put on the shoe, and they used like one of the fabrics. Oh,
right,
like
on the inside
on
of the shoe.
Inside, yeah.
yeah. Okay. Sorry, guys.
Okay, whatever.
But
no,
so then Donnie recommends the documentary about like Walt Disney,
the Imagineering
thing.
Yes.
Okay. That was the only time I had issues because after you posted that, I tried to click on it and it was like, oops, this doesn't work right now. And so I haven't seen that yet. That was a great Mickey Mouse.
Thank you.
It's his weird superpower. He's really good at it.
So, but it's been fantastic, obviously.
Definitely worth the price of admission.
For sure.
Especially if you're a Verizon customer. If you don't know this, if you get cell phone service through Verizon.
Not a paid advertisement.
No, but it's just a public service announcement.
Yep.
You get a year for free. So go to your Verizon website, log in, request your whatever password, whatever you need to do. You get a year for free.
I got an email about it and PSA. Everything yeah. on my phone. It was great. I'm super stoked. I already have
it. Sam didn't get that email because nope. he chose poorly.
did you pay for a year?
No, he
no, okay.
He actually during the tattoo convention signed up with a different carrier.
I didn't sign up with them. I was already signed up with
bum,
AT&T.
Bum, bum, bum.
This is a weird episode, guys.
Yeah.
I watched
I'm speechless.
I watched three things so far on Disney Plus because I said I was because I didn't work. I had all day today off with the exception of the podcast and And Corey was like, what are you going to do today, Katie? I was like, I'm going to sit on my couch and I'm going to eat Cheez-Its and I'm going to watch Ratatouille and that's it. And that's what I did. And then I watched That's So Raven. And then I watched this one of the single greatest TV show pilots of all time, The Mandalorian.
Oh,
So you're probably wondering why we haven't talked about that yet, and you're yelling at your monitor going, why aren't they talking about the show yet? so we're gonna preface this with, there will be spoilers, folks.
Yes.
There probably, will be so many spoilers.
We'll try to do minor spoilers, but there's going to be spoilers.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm going to spoil the whole thing. Wait, because have it got you spoiled seen it? For me.
No.
Bad.
Are you worried about spoilers?
She's like, I'm out of here.
I'll go ahead and leave.
It really doesn't. Sarah's there's not a whole here. Lot to give away there.
It's true, but there's a couple
one,
things.
There's one big one, yeah. But so, other than yeah. that.
So, my brother got on and watched The Mandalorian before I did. He didn't make his own account. He just used my login and everything. And he didn't bother to go through the credits at the end. He stopped right at the end of the episode.
Oh, no.
And.
Oh, no.
When you jump back into an episode on Disney, it backs it up. So guess what image was the only thing on the screen?
Sarah's not left yet, but yeah, okay.
that sucks.
Thanks for coming, Sarah.
So. Can we talk about the gator walrus real fast? Because that thing struck fear into my heart, first of all.
What are you calling the gator walrus?
The gator walrus. The ice thing.
The mini dewbacks?
No, he's talking about the thing that jumped through the ice and ate.
Yes. That was a gator walrus.
Oh, yeah, that was.
I didn't see it well enough to see what it was. There wasn't really a clear picture.
Oh, I paused it a couple times. It's got a full-on walrus face, but it's got like a gator skin back.
It was really cool.
It's cool. It's like they are sparing Noah's expense as far as effects are concerned here. Episode one, we already got a guy cut in half, so it's already a good episode.
I was wondering how they were going to pull that off with the PG rating, but they did. Like it was gruesome while not explicit.
It really doesn't feel PG at all.
It feels like it could be much higher than that.
Yeah. Listen, essentially, if you need a quick breakdown, like it's a fistful of dollars meets I don't know what. I mean, it's literally a Clint Eastwood movie.
So it is.
Corey is screaming at the radio right now from him not listening or listening to this while not being on this episode.
I know. He's going to be.
Sorry, Corey.
So you being our comic expert, did you get a lone wolf and cub feeling?
I like that as well.
So, you know, it's funny. He's not here, but he did actually say exactly that to me. Corey was like, don't you get a lone wolf and cub kind of a feel? And I do. I definitely do.
I like that analogy as well. Yeah.
I cannot wait for... What's his name? Do we know his name yet?
They didn't announce it, although it has been spoiled.
Yeah, he accidentally spoiled it, but you're not supposed to know
his
name.
Okay.
He spoiled it in an interview, an officially released interview. He said the name, and I don't know how they didn't catch it before they put it out, but they did. So he's still the man with no name.
Okay. Are we going to say what's so crazy about that last thing, or are we going to hold off on that?
No, we'll get there.
Okay, we'll get there.
But I wanted to talk... Okay, sorry.
No. I just wanted to put in the line of, like, sorry, guys, I got to go BRB. I'm going to go kill this one guy for some sick shoulder pads. It's going to be dope. Like, what? What is that? I understand that there's, like, a really rich history behind that with the Mandalorian race and everything. Mm-hmm. But all that... You took a man's life... Or planning on taking a man's life for a shoulder pad. Okay.
Well, and it was generous for the foundling.
I'm being a smart aleck.
It breaks it down. It does show an extensive flashback scene that kind of explains.
Yeah.
It shows the people that really give a rip about this really kind of probably know the backstory, but
I'm sure we're going to get
the Mandalore race was essentially annihilated and there was very few survivors that made it out of the Civil War or whatever it was at the time. But so, you know, he was just doing his job. He got paid and
I was really
special medal. And
I was really excited about the potential like buddy cop situation that was going to happen with the droid.
The droid voiced by Taika Waititi.
I was so excited because I was like, oh, it's going to be like a Legolas, like Gimli situation of like, droids. And now we're best friends. And then it didn't happen.
Well, droids are droids. I mean, he could come back at some point.
But he got karma for being racist against droids in the first scene, and it was great.
And Taika Waititi is also going, he's slated to direct an episode later in the...
Really?
Oh, right on.
That'll be awesome.
Maybe IG-11...
Oh, that could be fun.
...comes back and he directs. But anyways, crazy. I mean, anybody else have...
So I wanted to actually congratulate Brian Posehn for finally being in Star Wars canon. Yeah.
Yes.
He was so excited that he's part of Star Wars canon now.
And he gets eaten.
Yes.
Yeah.
How you can't get better than that. If you're only going to have one little cameo, at least go out and, well, you know, people remember
you. In a super cool way.
Right?
Because nobody that was like inherently a good guy had really died yet. So well, you're like, wait, no.
You see that speeder going and they focus on it way too long for him not to, like a second or two before he's eaten. You're like, he's about to die.
Yeah. I love how they have just blatantly started giving bad guys in Star Wars German accents. Just we're just totally we're just abandoning the metaphor at this point. Like,
well, at least they're not all British anymore.
That's fair.
So we did have quite a few cameos in this show. We had a Horatio Sands in the very first.
I didn't realize that until Corey told me.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, he was the blue guy.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Back
that
tube.
Is amazing. I didn't know that was Horatio. That's awesome.
Werner Herzog, who had never seen Star Wars before this.
Really?
That's crazy.
Was he the Imperial guy?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
That gave the bounty out.
That's a great actor.
Yeah.
He did a really good job, too.
He was super creepy.
So for anybody that doesn't know, I've seen different time between 5 to 7 years after The Return of the Jedi. Is when this story takes place.
Correct.
Yeah.
I've seen some articles say 10. I've seen some say 5. Some say 7. It's about 5 to so the empire has fallen. So the outlying territories are going to be in kind of disarray. The alliance has not obviously got a firm grip.
They haven't transitioned into being the resistance yet because the First Order hasn't shown up yet.
And we know they obviously don't because in 25 years or 20 years from the Mandalorian. The First Order is pretty
totally a thing,
right? Yeah. So just to kind of a timeline to orient yourself. But it's a fantastic world they've created in one episode.
It's
insane.
It got me. So I haven't seen anything past Force Awakens, because Force Awakens kind of turned me off to the whole thing. And I was like, this isn't really for me anymore. And I understand that. This got me excited about Star Wars again. Like this, I'm really, really stoked and I want to see what happens. And it's got me wanting to go see the rest of them.
I give credit that Pedro Pascal and the wonderful costume department have the same, like he, in Game of Thrones, he was not only like a handsome, like devilishly handsome man who was also amazing.
George
with
thinks
combat.
You're handsome.
Well, yeah, dude, he is. Have you seen the guy? You don't see him in the show because he doesn't take off his helmet, but that is a handsome man.
That's the fifth time you've called him handsome this episode.
I'm reiterating because you called me out on it.
I'm just saying.
So anyways, look at him and tell me he's not.
That's the sixth time.
I didn't say it that time.
Anyways, anybody have like a favorite right part or a favorite scene?
The fact that what I was trying to make was he has that charisma even through there, like that just he oozes badassdom. So anyways, that was the point.
No,
that I was
absolutely. I'm sorry I stole your thunder, George.
But there, I appreciated that Favreau did some really deep cuts. The whatever creature Salacious Crumb was getting spit roasted.
So that was one of my favorite parts. The whole species. Yeah. Some of them were like in cages or jars.
Dude, that look on the live one's face, looking at his buddy getting fried.
That was awesome.
Oh God, I thought I was done with that guy. Dobby is no longer a free elf. Like that's all I kept thinking.
They brought up the Life Day, which we've only seen in
God, no
wonderful. Christmas special.
We don't talk about it.
And the gun that he was using, the rifle, only been seen in the animated cartoon that was on the Life Day special.
That's
of Boba Fett
cool.
When Boba Fett's very first appearance.
I didn't catch that.
Like
that's
the pistol
awesome.
Style or
the long rifle. Okay. Yeah.
The only time you've ever seen that was in the Christmas special. They did a little animated short of Boba Fett. That was his first appearance technically. Huh. And he was using that rifle. So
awesome. So on in front of my podcast area, I have a IG-88 bounty droid.
You do indeed.
That I brought in here because looking at it and from what we saw in the previous movies, you would think this thing's just a dumb stiff piece of crap that can't do anything.
No, he's a badass.
But Jon Favreau brought this thing to life into badassdom in a very awesome way. It's IG-11 in the Mandalorian series, but maybe my favorite scene when it's like doing all its
weird arm
things, like
he's a robot
shooting
gunslinger
people
cowboy.
Yeah.
It's dope.
So it was super awesome.
They even had a lot of that in the trailers and it did not do anything to take the wind out of the sails.
Absolutely
that
not.
Was still really cool.
It was amazing.
Did you ever play Shadows of the Empire?
Yes. Yes,
the,
I did.
The level in the junkyard where you have to fight IG-88
yes.
is awesome. That's, yes. And this episode made that fight more believable.
Totally. Because
before that, you're like, this guy, he's right. just a stick robot.
Exactly. I totally
hated,
agree.
I hated that fight.
Yeah. Yeah. It was hard, but it was fun.
The game was hard.
Yeah, it was.
So let's fast forward to the end of the episode.
Are we going to talk about it?
Wait, can we talk about his ship has a carbon...
A carbonite freezing chamber
on it?
Was it a chamber, yeah. though? It just seemed like
it looked like one of the plates that wasn't filled in yet.
Yeah, it just looked like...
No, he froze them there.
Yeah, but I know, he didn't dunk them down on the ship. In anything.
Yeah,
it was like this
well, big, long, drawn-out thing in the movie.
Carbonite technologies had made a lot of improvements in the last 15 years. Yeah,
so maybe they got miniature versions that are on the ships now instead of... But I thought that was really neat, seeing that, and seeing all the different plates lined up in the ship. And it was just cool.
Another scene that they showed in the trailer, but it was still effective. Like that, I give them credit. This, nothing made me like sad that I'd seen it before.
Yeah, they're kings of making trailers. Right. So, I mean, they can make a trailer that makes you think you saw the whole movie and you saw nothing.
Mm-hmm. So,
can we go to the end of the episode? I mean, I could keep going, but. So I'll set you up, Donnie.
There's a baby!
Stop! Star Wars had a baby. I'll set you up. His main bounty, the main mission for this episode is 50 years old, and he had to go track it down. And after all the death and devastation, he gets to this little tiny pod where this 50-year-old live creature is, and it is what, Uncle Donnie?
A baby?
It's a baby!
It's a baby what, Uncle Donnie?
We don't know what it's a baby because that race doesn't have a name yet.
It's at the very least the same species as Yoda.
Do they not have a name?
That, no.
Anywhere in the lore? Been,
only thing we know is Yoda and Yaddle.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Because I knew there was at least one other one.
Yoda's species has never been named. Yeah. I mean, they were annihilated.
That's the one black hole in Star Wars mythologies that Lucas had refused to ever... disclose.
I honestly hope we never know.
I think we're going to find out.
Because they're super cool. Because Yoda as a character is incredibly, incredibly cool, but he's also kind of goofy looking. So there's not a whole lot about them that isn't just going to be Nibbler from Futurama,
Jim Henson.
This really long, like really cool, really beautiful, like majestic history. But everybody just looks at him and goes, oh my God, you're so cute. That's all it's going to be. Well,
you could tell he was kind of cracked by the end. When Luke finds him, he's just a crazy old coot. Well, and it's a little bit of a show, obviously, he puts on that front.
Yeah. But,
right. And he was 900 years old.
Right, exactly. I wasn't sure if it was 8 or 9.
Eight.
I think, 800. Okay.
Which I'm trying to figure out the math here. So the thing is 50 years old and still a baby.
Right.
So that makes the terrible
Are you figuring out Yoda years?
200s.
So this thing is literally still an infant.
Potty training is going to take approximately 75 years.
Can you imagine having you have a baby, like you give birth to a child, and then it completely depends on you for everything for 50 years.
Well, I think
over 50, because this thing was 50 years old and it was still
it was still in a baby carriage.
Oh my God, I would be so annoyed.
Anyways, if that doesn't set you up, or if you're really pissed off now,
doesn't make any evolutionary sense.
We did warn you. Sorry if you skipped forward and then heard Yoda baby.
There's a baby. Calm down.
Yoda baby.
So then it can't be Yoda.
So the,
It could be Yoda's son. Because you think about it, if it's 50 years old, it was born
before Yoda died.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go that direction. I don't think it's going to be related
maybe,
to Yoda.
Oh, please. All the Skywalkers were related, and they were spread apart the galaxy, and there were only four people that mattered.
So they got to go one of two ways with this. One, they got to, give the baby back to the Empire and then gets killed. That we would have heard about it, maybe, if we would have had a resurgence of the breed or species that is Yoda people. But at the same time, we're going to learn more about them, even if it's only little tidbits, which would be okay. But I'm just interested to see what it is that we do find out.
I'm just hoping we get a Yoda Babies cartoon at this point.
Yoda Babies.
Make your dreams come true. Sorry.
Make dreams come true, you will.
Copyright.
There you go. There you go.
So then my question, so I understand that it's the pilot and they're, and the entire point of it is to be like, oh, what's going to happen next? But I don't understand. They were like, they were very much stressing, hey, we would at the very least prefer to have this asset alive.
Right.
And then they sent another bounty hunter specifically to kill it.
I think the doctor is involved in cloning. Remember the doctor said that's not part of the deal when the other consigliere guy was like,
he was simply being pragmatic.
He was like, right. Yeah. He was like, hey, if you know, stuff goes haywire, give us proof that it's destroyed. And the other guy was the doctor was like, oh no, that wasn't part of the deal. Like he wants that thing. I think they're trying to clone it.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
I could be wrong.
No, I mean, having the Empire have like a little Yoda army of clones, that's scary.
Right. I mean, they have a history of
being able to
clone things,
but kind of
right?
scary at the same time.
Also true.
Yeah.
So wow.
everybody go watch The Mandalorian. Yeah. I know we just like kind of told the entire story for you, but.
And if you haven't been sold, you can try a 1 week free trial of Disney Plus. On Disney Plus.
Yeah.
You know, as someone who's never seen it before, what you said just made zero sense.
So. Okay.
Oh,
good.
Pretty much.
We were jumping all over the place. Yeah, it wasn't a thread through description.
I mean, it's just like this guy shot this. Lasers, bounty hunting, and then the only thing I'm going to be not surprised by is Yoda Baby.
Yoda Baby. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was shooting. Sorry, there was Sam. A droid. That's there fine. Was a German guy.
I didn't think you could.
And Nick Nolte. Yeah. We didn't even talk about
spoken.
Nick Nolte.
That was the funniest thing.
It was awesome.
His character was great.
I texted everybody in my contact list, I have spoken, and three of them knew what I was talking about.
I said it today at a lunch meeting with 20 people. And only one of them looked at me and gave me a wink.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's so good.
Knowing what I said.
Never going to go away.
Yeah. It was great.
So, you know where else you can find out about Yoda and Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker and all those other people?
Except
where?
Not this week.
Never heard of them.
In the Comics Corner. Wow. That's not how we do this intro. Well, hello, everyone. Okay. That's how we do this intro. Starting off with the one graphic novel that I have, and Corey, once again, not here, giving him a little bit of a voice in the room, he was saying that if you need an elevator pitch for The Mandalorian, it's splash in Firefly with the scum and villainy aspect of, Star Wars, and it feels a little bit like that.
Huh.
I mean, I don't know if you like Firefly, but.
I love Firefly.
Oh, okay. How dare you? There you go. We just haven't talked about it much. Dear.
I would say 80% of the people that listen to this podcast loved Firefly.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
And the other 20% are wrong.
Right.
Well, they just probably haven't seen it yet.
So the graphic novel out is Firefly, The Sting. And it's our Ms. Mal Reynolds. I can't remember what her actual name is. Saffron, whatever. She's got like three names in the show. But Christina Hendricks is featured in this graphic novel.
Really?
Yeah.
You give me that right now.
And it also features the lady cast members of the crew members of the Firefly ship as well.
Christina Hendricks is newly single, by the by.
Oh, don't say that.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Sorry, that was creepy and gross.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so that's out. It looks really cool. She whisks up the gals of the Serenity to go run a heist. So yeah, that's fun. There's a lot this week. I'm gonna have to rifle through my stack quite a bit, but I'll start with this one, Family Tree Number One, which is written by Jeff Lemire and art by the wonderful Phil Hester, who, if you go back, you scroll way down in our podcast stream list, you'll find an episode where we did an interview with him. Back when Greg was still around and everybody, it was the old crew, the original, the OG crew of everybody. And we talked to Phil Hester because they're old buddies and stuff. And this is an awesome comic book. So
hi, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Hello.
And it's a cool book. It reminds me a little bit of Farmhand, which I've talked a lot about recently. It's kind of like got that body horror style thing. But this gal starts getting this rash on her arm and she gets taken to the doctor and it's not getting better. And it seems like there's going to be some family curse of some sort with a tree based body horror. So, yeah, that sounds fun. Check that out. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Phil.
Hello. Anyways,
okay, so this is this is going to go just like the rest of this episode, and by that I mean weird.
Frenetic.
Weird. Yes, frenetic. That's the word. Mirka Andolfo has a new comic book from Hot Off of the Unnatural Glory. called Unsacred.
Okay.
Katie, I'm surprised. Okay. I'm surprised you're not asking for this comic book.
What is? Let me see.
Ooh. Oh, I was gonna say she has to see naked ladies on the cover first.
Yeah, no.
And then you showed it, and there's a naked lady on the cover.
Oh, wait, no. This is the one that she's been showing a bunch of sketches for on her Instagram, and it is cute.
Yes, it is.
It is the cutest thing. It's a little angel that falls in love with the devil, and hilarity and drama ensues.
That's the perfect elevator pitch. Thanks, Katie.
The art is absolutely gorgeous. If you get it only for the art, it's incredible.
Did you read that?
Yes, I did.
Okay, talk about it because I didn't read it yet.
If you guys have not heard, I am a huge fan of Morbius, the living vampire, and he finally got his own run again for the first time in quite a few years. In this story, Morbius, again, his entire purpose in life is to try to find the cure for the vampire disease that he accidentally gave himself, or depending on the storyline, his dad gave him, and he succeeds with a price.
Oh, no.
It's very...
He has to look like Jared Leto when he's all healed? Is that the...
Oh,
that hurts.
Now I'm sad.
Complete with the face tattoos.
No!
That's why I get sad when I think about Jared Leto, because I can't get that image of his face out of my mind.
Yeah. Also, Jared Leto sucks and is a bad person and should leave Morbius alone.
The views expressed are those of...
I've threatened violence towards Jared Leto quite a few times.
So speaking of body horror from that other Family Tree book, there's a book out called Teether.
And it's very good.
Can't fight the teether.
Did you see that cover?
No.
That sounds gross.
It is.
See?
Yeah.
The little girl's got teeth growing out of the side of her face.
That is disgusting. Yeah. I don't do eyeball gore, and I don't do teeth gore.
So it's a good week for horror books, apparently. but that's a comic that's out from Anarchic Press, and the third one is out this week, along with the first and second one again. It had taken a really long time between two and three, so they were nice enough to bring out one and two again.
It's very disturbing, especially when it comes to, like, a lot of people find children in horror stories very chilling, and this is no exception to that, but it has a very silly vibe to it too, which I really like.
Indeed.
Indeedly doodly.
In the X-Men corner this week, we had...
which is on Disney Plus, by the way.
I know. I saw that, and I had to scroll through and see if they had every episode.
Did you listen to the opening theme song?
Did they alter it?
Just a little.
No.
Yeah.
That's distressing.
Why would they do that?
We talked about this a few episodes ago
because they're being sued by some Scandinavian drama from the 80s.
I forgot about
it. It's really close.
It was really close, but now they've changed a few notes here and there. And
that's too bad.
Bummer.
Didn't we take a poll and say that it was like one of the greatest theme songs of all time? That's dumb. This is dumb.
The other X-Men book, the final number one out this week, was Fallen Angels.
Yeah.
And I liked it. It's definitely going to be one that I'm not quite as excited about as opposed to the other ones, but I'm going to see where it goes.
Did you get to read X-Men number 2 this week?
I did.
I love the relationship Scott has with his kids right now.
Yes.
And Kid Cable, I
gave her a present.
I gave her it's a plasma grenade.
I actually exclaimed out loud when it went to the next panel. Like oh my God. Like, that was a good book. That was a good comic.
Yeah.
So X-Men 2 was also out this week, but I hadn't actually said what that was. And then I've got nothing but DC left, so I'll just rifle through these ones. Event Leviathan number 6 ended. It ended, and I'm not going to say who it is, but the man behind the mask is indeed revealed.
It's Maggie.
Shh!
Shut up, Derek!
Maggie shot Mr. Burns.
Well, now they don't have to read the comic book now. Oh,
by the way, The Simpsons is on Disney Plus.
Oh, we've geez. Noticed. Since you've been making Simpsons jokes all night.
So Batman and the Outsiders and Detective Comics both got acetate covers this week, which are really cool, featuring different characters and things. And then you flip the cover open and it's a different image, which is actually pretty cool. I mean, they do a good job on them. Far Sector is out with art by the wonderful Jamal Campbell, hot off of the Naomi run, which was insanely good. Weird futuristic Green Lantern story where this gal is on a far-flung planet and it's like not anywhere near Earth or like its culture or anything like that. So it's also from the Young Animal line, and she's investigating the first murder that's taken place in centuries on this planet. And she is sure that the violence is only going to get worse and worse as things go along.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right. And then last but not least in my stacks this week, we had The Dollhouse Family.
Woo!
Which, yet again, another horror comic. But this is from the Hill House Comics line that Joe Hill is presenting.
Sweet.
At DC with Black Label.
Sweet.
And it's a whole lot of things in one sentence there.
Just because October is over doesn't mean spoopy season is.
Indeed. But this one takes place, I think, in the 70s. And this little girl inherits this dollhouse from her, I think, her grandma. And her stepdad is a real piece of work and is the abusive type. And she starts talking to the dolls in the house about him and how they could help her with his, you know, abuse and things. Like, if you just, bring him to the dollhouse with you one time, because why not?
Sounds eerily like the Creepshow episode.
They were not good guys.
There's some parts and pieces, borrowed.
No, it has a definitely similar element. I just love...
I way simplified what the story actually was with that, but that's the elevator pitch.
There's a lot of terrifying children this episode of Comics Corner.
Yeah.
Ew.
It's kind of weird.
So yeah, that's what I got.
Awesome. So, same day that Disney Plus launched, all the other streaming services made huge announcements. Shocker.
Oh. What?
Pay attention to us.
HBO Max announced that a Friends reunion is in development.
Woo.
Okay.
They're also working on a series based around R.L. Stine's books.
Okay.
Let me tell you a little something about Steve King. Yes, I'm jazzed for that.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene.
Also on that day, Netflix announced it had partnered up with Nickelodeon to make some original content, including the new SpongeBob spinoff, Squidward.
Oh, my. Okay.
That's fine.
That's fine.
The article I read said that they were entering into a licensing deal with Netflix. So obviously they're going to bring all the old Netflix.
Sure,
I'm sorry. Nickelodeon shows, which is cool.
They're not going to bring on all the Nickelodeon shows. Netflix isn't that cool.
What they're going to be able to do is have those characters now to create new content. That was their main idea behind it. Not getting the old content, but some of the characters that we love from the Nickelodeon universe, and they're going to be able to either create new animated shows or live action or whatever they want to do with them.
Well, it wouldn't make sense for them to just put all the old stuff on a streaming service. I mean, eventually they definitely should do that, but they already do that on cable right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's already, so that's, and Netflix has said, I mean, it was 3 years ago, Netflix said, our 5 to 7 year plan is to be 95% original content. They started with licensing things, and then they saw how tricky that got because the prices kept going up.
Mm-hmm.
So again, Netflix is one, you know, these guys were sending DVDs out of a warehouse in Spokane 15 years ago. I mean,
yeah.
They're pretty smart. They're seeing 10 years ahead. They're not. So yeah, to have the whole Nickelodeon universe to be able to create new content from, I think it's
I
think it's cool, and I would be excited to see what they're, you know, as a kid that literally grew up on Nickelodeon.
Well, and all of these like places, Nickelodeon and Netflix is a really good example, but companies like that kind of have to band together in the face of something like the juggernaut that is Disney Plus. Sure.
Absolutely.
Like, we've all spent, well, except for Sam, we've all in this room spent probably too much time watching that so far, and it only came out a couple days ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I have Disney Plus. I just haven't watched anything.
Oh, well, okay. There you go. Well, so that's a
problem, Sam.
I just hadn't had time to dedicate to a binge.
That's fair. That's fair. That's fair.
And I'm probably going to wait till Mandalorian's all out and then just binge it.
Okay.
No, don't do that.
That'll be tough.
Don't
man.
Do that. I'm doing that with Castle Rock right now. Yeah, actually, well, no, I'm not. I did that with Castle Rock and I made a terrible mistake.
Castle Rock, by the way, is fantastic.
Different show, but no, yeah, I know, go but watch hey, Castle
it's
Rock. Still,
it's kind of dips in. There's some parallels.
Stephen King announced this week in a post on the Twitter, I think it was.
I already did the bit. I can't do it again.
On the Twitter.
That Pennywise should get a guest spot on Sesame Street.
Let me tell you a little something about Steve King. Wait, I am so here for this. Yes. Yes. Do it. Do it. Do it.
No.
Traumatize my children.
No. That's a joke. It. That's a joke. That's a joke, Donnie.
Do it.
That's not real.
Two nuns walk into a bar and Stephen King thinks Pennywise should be on Sesame Street.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Okay. No, what they should do is they should have it be like a little Easter egg, because if you watched It Part One, there was a shot where it did pan to the TV and it was a Sesame Street style thing. And Pennywise was just kind of off in the corner, just kind of sitting there waving and going, I forget what the kid's name was that he was talking to, but he's just sitting there waving and being creepy. Just do that.
Elmo thinks this is a bad idea.
By the way, Miss Kitties, you are hereby now required in perpetuity to say that Stephen King line every time Stephen King is mentioned on this or any other podcast.
I was going to do it every time, whether you guys liked it or not.
There's talks that Batwoman may be canceled before the first season even ends.
Yeah. Saw that coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
They buried it before it even came out. They didn't give it a chance.
I told you guys my dreams were going to be crushed. And I wasn't wrong. I may have flip-flopped a couple times.
Heard that watched it said it wasn't that great.
No, it sucks. They took my favorite superhero and they took everything that I love about her and they ruined all of it. And now I'm sad.
Titans gets a season 3, but where that season will be,
so
who only knows.
That show seemed to have a huge turnaround. People seemed to be like not so keen on it right off the bat.
It got better as season 1 proceeded. Like I said, the season finale and season 2's first episode doesn't make any damn sense.
Why they divided it there?
Yeah.
Okay. I had a thought about these types of series that, is there longevity 5 to 6 seasons? I don't think so, personally. Do they need more time than a 2-hour movie? Yes. So why can't they just go into it? This is going to be almost like a mini series. It's going to be one shot. It's 10 hours, 10 episodes of Titans or whatever it's going to be.
The problem with the way that...
and then there's no expectations of...
Yeah, but with this one, like we've had 2 seasons now of them basically laying out Deathstroke.
But that's the downfall in my... That's what I'm trying to say. If they just carefully crafted a 10-hour, 10-episode, 10-hour movie, basically, then it would have a start, a middle, and an end, and it would be cohesive rather than you're 2 seasons in and everybody's done with it because it's been crap because they've been... You know what I mean?
You just said it was getting better, though.
Yeah.
Donnie said it was getting better.
It is.
People talk.
Yeah. They introduced Superboy this season, which is...
I'm hearing some talk in the alley.
Which has been hilarious because they're doing the Cadmus Superboy straight out of the test tube. Yeah. Doesn't know anything.
Okay.
It's been hilarious.
I'm just saying that...
And then we get Crypto.
That's a very small market. That's all I'm saying. I mean,
sure.
The percentage of viewership there is... I'm sorry. It can't be a lot.
Well, it's the DC app, so
I bet there isn't even 100,000 downloads on that per episode.
New Sonic trailer's out, and it actually looks much better than the first trailer.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to watch that.
Yeah, it looks...
Sonic looks way better.
Night and day better. They actually added some bits to the trailer that makes you reminiscent of Sonic. There's a lot of nostalgia kicked in.
Same footage, different CG?
Different CG, and actually some different footage too.
Okay. Didn't see I mean, well, it's going to be based on the same movie. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
They didn't totally...
Yeah, like, sure. They didn't reshoot the whole movie.
Okay.
They
just reworked
the... Rick and Morty premiered.
I'm so mad that I didn't realize that.
Oh, crap. Me neither.
Yeah, seriously. That snuck up on all of us.
It didn't show up on Hulu yet, though.
Bad fans.
It did Adult Swim, and that was it. And then other avenues.
That's worrisome.
Uh-oh.
Well,
Are we?
I see. I don't remember. I think last year when they had the other season, they waited until the entire season was done, then put it up onto Hulu. I don't think it was one episode at a time.
That's right. I was buying those.
Uh-huh. Ghostbusters got a title.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah?
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
That's kind of a cool title for Ghostbusters. Yeah.
I guess I kind of like Ghostbusters 2020. It's
better than Endgame.
Well, we're getting to that cheesy sounding year that was like so far flung in the past, like 30 years ago. That was like, dude, 2020.
Oh,
we're going to be flying.
And that we everyone knew, but it was not confirmed. It was finally actually 100% confirmed that Bill Murray is Peter Venkman in this movie. Yep.
Perfect.
Nice.
Robert Downey Jr. dedicated his People's Choice Award to Stan Lee.
Awesome. Aww. And right, it was right around the anniversary of his death.
Yeah, this week was the 1 year anniversary of Stan Lee's death.
Rest in peace.
And I saw Marvel is making a push for Best Supporting Actor nod for him.
Cool.
After that's all awesome. The talk.
Mary Louise Parker is returning for a Weeds sequel on Showtime.
That was a good show.
It was okay.
It was a good three seasons.
Again, yeah.
Talking about that longevity thing.
Well, it went so far off the deep end by the time that thing was done.
I agree. But if these guys went into it, okay, this is going to be two seasons. Let's plan out a beginning, a middle, and a, you know what I mean? Like, just think it'd be better.
Joker crossed the $1 billion mark this week.
That's, dear God. Incredibly insane.
That's incredible.
It's amazing.
And this one's for my dear wife. Unfortunately, Veronica Mars season 5 is on hold with Hulu and probably will not be happening.
That's a death blow.
With that and the Good Place ending this year, the only way you're going to get any more of Kristen Bell is if she builds you a snowman.
Which comes out in November.
Hey, she's got Frozen 2.
When she builds you a snowman.
Frozen 2 comes out December, November 22nd.
That's weird. There was a lot of promos and I saw a lot of advertising for the new Veronica Mars.
Yeah. They pushed it.
You know, the CW could always pick it up.
Oh, come on. Hey, it's better than that.
It deserves better than that. Does it? Does it?
I think it does.
Does it really?
So we want to thank Sarah for being on the show tonight.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. Check out the book club downstairs.
November or December 6th at 7 p.m., 7:30.
Friday in December.
Yeah. What time?
Whenever you want to roll it.
It's on the Facebook page. And if you're interested, go to that. It. We did, yes. Just rewind it. There we go.
So, Sam.
Hi.
Okay. And we're at the other end of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. There you go.
Derek.
Thank you, Uncle Donnie.
Miss Katie.
I have spoken.
Thank you, Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte of the podcast.
This was not a good episode for Corey to not be here. Corey, you should have been here.
He's going to be pissed.
And George.
Thank you, Donnie.
Thank you, George. With that, folks, we are out of here.
Nothing can kill the gross. Nothing can kill the gross.
You've been listening to AU Radio. Music is provided by CoveyandBenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio Podcast is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.
If you'd like to contact the show, follow us on Twitter at @AU_radio, Facebook at AU Radio Podcast, Instagram at AU.radio, or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the shows on AU Radio by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Network. Find us on Patreon as AU Radio at Adventures Underground. You can help us create this podcast and soon several others with as little as a dollar a month. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.